Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Jags on Saturday Night Football for the AFC South. That's coming up here in about an hour on the show. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Jags on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So Mike Vrabel speaking yesterday. A lot of questionable designations for the Titans yesterday. Dylan Cole, Christian Fulton, Amani Hooker, Nicholas Petit-Frere, all listed as questionable. And Joe, even though he did not practice yesterday, Treylon Burks listed as questionable as well in this game. And Mike Vrabel, I think the quote was, should be okay. They were going to hold him out yesterday, but he should be okay for Saturday, talking about Treylon Burks. So we'll see what happens on that front. But I guess both from his standpoint and from Amani Hooker's standpoint, neither one of those guys practicing yesterday.
Yeah, interesting. First of all, very interesting. We had a lot of debate about this. A lot of debate about this in the Titans media room. About the what does Vrabel mean by he should be okay? I was like, is it possible that he'll be okay? It is possible. Is it possible that there's no certainty, but this is a little bit of a he'll be okay. He needs to be okay. This is everything. You know,
could be
time to suck it up and get. I
kind of read his comments as he's probably gonna play. He'll be all right.
That's how I did too, but there's, you know, you can slice and dice these words however you want them. But so you got five questionables. So Amani Hooker told me yesterday he is playing.
There you go.
So he's like, I'm good. Now he's questionable. Dylan Cole made it sound also to me the other day like he will be able to go. Who's the fifth? I'm forgetting the
Fulton.
Fifth. See, that's
Petit-Frere.
Yeah, Petit-Frere also seemed optimistic. Fulton is the one who I think is the biggest at the top of the list questionable. Without, again, like, I'm going to take Vrabel at his word. I don't think Vrabel says that. I personally don't think Vrabel says that if he's not okay.
I would be surprised if he would say something like that if he's not.
Like, just if he's actually not okay, but Vrabel's like, I'm going to say this to the media to, you know, kick him into gear. Hey, I'm telling you. You know. It was
a lively debate. A lot of interesting takes in the Titans media room lately.
Oh, boy. I tell you what. You get some of those folks going on. I won't call anybody out by name right now. But PK Sour Hour. That's. the Fulton thing is definitely the big one. I said this before. Shane Bowen didn't seem too optimistic about it. I think he's going to try. I think I heard TD. He was talking on the TD Power Hour about the compression that he's trying to wear to help and everything like that. I think he's obviously going to be out there pregame and try to give it a go. I guess my question with Fulton would be, obviously with any of these things, especially when you have like a hammy groin or anything like that, like obviously you always have a chance of re-injuring, but are you okay as of now, like when the game kicks off to play? If it's like 80% of Christian Fulton, that's probably still worth giving it a go.
I would agree.
You know, right? But I'm just not expecting to see maximum capacity Christian Fulton, even if he does play, based on how things have gone here. He's been out a while,
too. He's been out a while, and like you said, I mean, it's a groin injury, and the soft tissue stuff with Christian Fulton has been an issue. Now, it's typically been with the hamstring, and he's had a couple of different hamstring issues in his career here with the Titans, but the soft tissue injury is continuing to be a problem with Christian Fulton. You know, look, it's good that Hooker told you he's going to play, so that's good to have him in there. You know, obviously, Danico Autry is going to go. He's a full participant the whole week.
Yeah.
The real question I have in this game, defensively for the Titans, and look, Fulton's important. I'm not saying none of these guys are important, but how much did the rest help Jeffrey Simmons? Like, I think a lot of what they do defensively is going to come down to that. A fully healthy Autry, and how much did the rest help Jeffrey Simmons? If both of those guys are close to full capacity, That's going to be a big difference for this Titans defense.
It's where it starts. And, you know, what Michelle said, her called shot was a heck of a shot. And that's, you know, that's a lofty goal. But it's something like that is what they're going to need. And they're going to need that kind of, whether it actually pays off in a sack number that high, but just constant winning up front, the two of them, they're overwhelming when they're both right. And, you know, as I think it was Ben or I don't remember who on the text line, but someone made a good point, you know, that or Wes in Clarksville, you know, Tart doesn't get enough credit. Tier Tart, man, he's been a heck of a find for them. And so then you can rotate guys in. And look, DeMarcus Walker's been really good this year too. And it's like, you know, that's where you've got to be dominant in this game. Dominant. And it's got to turn into turnovers. It's not just that the Titans have to not turn it over, which of course is key, but that the Titans have to, they've got to get some tomorrow.
Lance on the text line says, Belichick moved by Vrabel on the questionables, leaving the Jags in limbo of who to prepare for. Vrabel playing chess out there. Everybody else playing checkers.
Yeah.
I think the Jags are going to prepare for, their preparation is going to be all-encompassing for the Titans.
Yeah.
They'll be ready to go if Christian Fulton's out there, I promise.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Christian Fulton is a good player. And when he's healthy, I think he's maybe even a little better than that at times. But how often have we seen that?
Not very often.
But, yeah, I think they're going to run their offense. It's not like you put him on the field and all of a sudden, whoa, that half of the field is out of play. It's not like that. It's not that serious, as the kids say.
So, Joe, I threw the question out there earlier this week. How much is riding on this game for the Titans? Beyond the obvious of a playoff spot this year, which is enough riding on this game. But when it comes to the future of the Titans, the direction that they take, the path this offseason, everything involved with it, how much is riding on it? And we got different opinions on that on the text line, on the phone line, and you know what I threw out there. What about you? What's riding on the Titans? What's riding on this game for the Titans in terms of how the future is or maybe should be viewed for this team?
Well, our discussion kind of inspired me to write something about it, which I did. You'll be shocked to know at theathletic.com. But as I thought about it, I was like, you know, I don't believe that they should have a direction plan. I believe that this information should matter. I do. I believe that this information should count. There are, and I wrote this, but, you know, there are 51 hours. There's 51 hours of football that you get to see a team play. This is the most important three of the entire year for the Titans, and they are an injury-riddled bunch, so it's not the full team. But I think, look, you think about this outcome. The thing is, we always talk about, here's what I think a team's going to go 10-7, or I think the Vols are going to go 8-4, or whatever. And that's fine, or I think the score will be this. But then there's experiencing going through it, right? So, like, the Vols had an incredible year, 11-2. Great job. Orange Bowl champs, top five finish you're going to have. That's all great. But it's still – it doesn't match up to, like, the experience of beating Alabama. Like, that's this is not an all-time season for the Vols, but that is an all-time moment for the Vols and Vols fans. My point being, the experience of Saturday – first of all, the information is important, but beyond the experience of it, it is going to and should, I think, influence how Amy Adams Strunk feels and how I think other people in the building feel. If you complete the 7-game losing streak, I think there is more questioning of a lot of things. And if you go out there and kind of do the Titan thing of rising up in this moment on the road, people question you, people doubting you, and you win, then I think – I personally think that you feel better about the idea of trying to help these guys be better one more time and go. And if you can't figure it out and you end up with 7 straight losses, for all the excuses that are – many of them valid – that are available, I think you're more inclined to do something more severe. Again, I'm not saying it's just the game. This means this, door A or door B. But I'm saying – I think it should be taken into account.
We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What do you make of what Rex Rode just threw out there about the weight of this game for the Titans tomorrow in terms of what it means for the direction they take this offseason? We'll take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
I do, and FanDuel Sportsbook is, by the way, my official sportsbook. It's safe, it's secure, it's easy to use, and the easy to use part is of course a big deal. And with FanDuel, you know, you've got a lot of things you can do. You can do your basics and all that, but you can combine bets for a bigger payout called a same game parlay. So let's talk Titans Jags on Saturday. I keep wanting to say Sunday. Titans Jags tomorrow night. I'm sticking with, I feel good about this particular parlay. I mean, look, the Titans, there's been some question with some injuries this week, but I like the Titans. I think Derrick Henry's going to get into the end zone. They may not score a lot of touchdowns, but I like Derrick Henry with an anytime touchdown. And I like the under. I think that this is going to be an AFC South grinder. That'd be my parlay. You do whatever you like to do with that or any other game, because there's no feeling like nailing the same game parlay. Lock it in today on FanDuel. If you're new, sign up with promo code Joe102. You get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in free bets. Again, promo code Joe102. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now withdrawable. Free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. To see terms at sportsbook.fan.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Make sure you tune into this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Washington Commanders at 3:25. NFL Game of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. I'm sure that'll be a doozy between the Cowboys and the Commanders. With Ron Rivera, hopefully knowing the scenarios next year. Is he going to be back? I don't know.
How many games do we play?
What's going on? We can be eliminated. Huh. Okay.
It's like, again, I talk about people getting lionized, okay?
Yeah.
People get lionized. You have the 1,000-yard stare just because you're in that organization. And that's what I believe has happened to Ron Rivera. He's been tutty-ized.
Major tutty-ized.
Major tutty.
It is amazing what that franchise continues to do on a yearly basis. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our buddy Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in.
What's up, Robbie, man? Hey, I wanted to give a game prediction. I'm going to go 13-7. In a really fun atmosphere Saturday night. I think it's good. Dude, just listen to what Joe's saying over there. I feel like if we are running a seven-game losing streak, then I would say offensively you might have to tear it down to the studs. Like, I don't know if maybe even Derrick Henry's on the table, because he's really your only asset that could get you some type of compensation to make things better. As crazy as that sounds, like I don't know, man. If you win, it fixes everything. I'll never speak of this day again. But if you lose, then you probably got to consider everything. Like it's to the point where it's like, man, we don't have a way to score. Even our kicker is garbage. And like, I don't know. Can Ryan Stonehouse kick field goals? Because he does everything else good. Might as well try.
Like, even a popular sentiment.
A lot
today.
Of Stonehouse talk
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
I do love Stone. Well, even on my show, dude, I talk about Stonehouse every week, man. I love this guy so much. Like, it's weird to me that we have no way to score points and that we're still so competitive. This isn't a new problem, man. We were exactly like this last year. We couldn't score points, and we were one. It's weird. I don't know, man.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Now, first off, I would say it's a little bit worse than last year.
Yeah.
in the point scoring department.
Yeah, they took a step down from 20 when they were 31 a game, but this is a steeper step down from last year to this year.
Yeah.
Than 20-21. Yeah. Yeah. This is a new level. But it's an interesting – it's like – see, I don't know that I necessarily agree with the whole, like – again, I'm not saying lose, blow it up for sure. Win, all is well for sure. But I do think there's a difference. I mean, I think
– you're saying that it needs to be taken into account.
Yeah.
The information.
And I just – and look – anybody involved in decision making is a human being with emotions, and I think there's a lot of emotion that gets tied to the outcome of this game, good or bad, you know. So I'm not going when I say like changes. I'm personally dismissing Vrabel. Like I don't think that's serious on the table.
I am too.
Now again, we all agree shouldn't be, but again, do we all also agree that
recent
John
events.
Robinson shouldn't have been fired in the middle of the season?
Correct.
So, but I don't think that's a thing. But I think other coaching changes, and just again, I think the bigger thing is just it's basically to me like it's you're gonna go, and we will talk about this so much whenever the season ends, which may be very soon, but you're gonna try to like you for example, Kevin Byard. He's going to be on the team next year. Now you can get out of his deal the next year, but he's going to be on the team next year unless you think you can trade him. But you're not like Byard, and I disagree with Adam. Derrick, you're not getting much for Derrick Henry at 29 years old. You're not. I mean, you can get
you'd get something, but you're not getting like. There's people out there
like
that think that you could
pick.
Trade Derrick Henry for like a couple of first round picks. I'm like, no, couldn't even get one first round pick from him.
I think you'd get a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you can talk me into a fourth, but So, you know, I mean, you're talking about a guy with a big cap hit for a running back who's 29 and also who doesn't fit a lot of these offenses. But Kevin Byard, for example, and if those two guys are on a team, first of all, they certainly do not want to have a year of basically step back, cut a lot of salary, go young, maybe go different at quarterback and try to get a high draft pick in 24, right? But that may be the right way to go. I'm leaning toward the other way. But like you know what? If the Titans go out and stink Saturday night and get smoked by the Jags, that I would personally will think differently because of that. Now then I'm gonna be like, you know what? Maybe just this what they've got going, what they've had going is just gone. And it's time to really have a new direction.
Well, that's kind of where I am. Like I agree with you from the standpoint of you have to take this game into account and there's new information that you could have that could influence the way you operate this offseason. I also look at this roster right now and look, a lot of this to me still comes down to the decision to let A.J. Brown walk. When you did that, you basically punted your Super Bowl window right out of the door if to me. So, like, it's – my question that I would have if you're running it back with most of the same group next year would be, okay, that's fine. How much closer in one offseason do you feel like you can get to competing for a Super Bowl? And I don't know what the answer is. Maybe they feel like it can be pretty close. Maybe they feel like it's you add a receiver here, you fix the offensive line, maybe not totally fix it, but you certainly make it better than it is right now. And with the defense you got coming back, hopefully Tannehill can stay healthy next year. And you add a wide receiver, Chigakonkwo takes the next step, all these things. Treylon Burks takes the next step. Maybe they feel like they're there. And if they do, well, the more power to them, then go ahead and run it back. I tend to think it's a little bit more complicated than that and that they're a little bit further away than maybe some people think they are from being a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, it would take – it's like, okay, well, wait a minute. A year ago, they were the one. Yes. And yet we look at him now. You could, I mean, again, you could, if you want to spin it all the way of this is all a terrible luck season and this, it would take like a perfect offseason.
Yes.
And it would take things like Treylon Burks becoming a star next year. You know, like a lot of things would have to break your way. Tony in Smyrna says, I don't understand at all what Joe means. Win or lose, how is a loss taken more into account with regards to offseason direction / philosophy? Whatever is needed to be better than this year. If we squeak out the win in advance, great. We're still a bad team. Fans, media, coaches, front office all know it. So offseason plan, draft free agency should all be the same, building the best roster. Okay, again, Tony, so first of all, I look at it like two paths. I mean, that's how I look at it. I look at it like the path of basically like you're still operating like you are still in a window.
Right.
And that is Tannehill is playing next year. He's your quarterback. And Derrick Henry is your running back. And you still, I think in either direction, like there's obvious cuts, right? There's Cunningham and probably Dupree.
Yeah.
Lawan and Cunningham are
100%.
Woods. Yeah. Either way, that's going to happen. But are you trying to keep those guys together and basically run it back with them? And do you think that team with things breaking your way, an incredible offseason, can actually contend for the Super Bowl? Or are you looking elsewhere? And again, I know it's a huge game tomorrow, so we don't need to get into all the offseason stuff. I mean, right. I disagree with people who think they should try to get, like, run it back, but with a different quarterback. I don't think that's a good. I don't think that's a good idea. That's me, but I can listen to the idea of fanking.
You love that, don't you?
I love fanking.
Fanking. Yeah, I mean, look, tomorrow is interesting from the standpoint when you start talking about the future of how does this, like, if the defense comes out there tomorrow and they play really well and the Titans win this game, and to me, that's how it's going to have to happen. Like, we can talk about Dobbs and Henry and all this stuff. To me, if Dobbs and Henry and everybody else is playing really well, you're still probably talking about 21, 24 points with that Titans offense. So it's going to come down to the defense. Like, if the defense comes out there tomorrow and they shut down Trevor Lawrence and that offense, it's not difficult for me to look at and say, oh, man, what could they be if they're healthy, right? Like, if Kevin Byard's back next year and Landry recovers from the ACL and you've got Simmons to maybe a new contract and Autry's back and he's near the same level.
Long
in there.
Molding.
Like, what could that defense be when they're healthy? And that, to me, would be the one area where you look at and be like, man, we got potentially, if they can stay healthy, and I realize people are laughing right now talking about staying healthy, but if they could, potentially a championship-caliber defense. Do you really just punt on that when you have one?
Autry, Simmons, Tart, Landry, Long, Molden, McCreary in his second year, Fulton, Hooker, Byard.
It's pretty good.
That's a win right now defense if they're all on the field. If. But, I mean, how do you proceed? Like, well, 40% of those guys will always be off the field. So, you know, I mean, you can't, like, I mean, you ultimately have to project yourself to be healthy. And you need depth to be able to handle, because you know you won't be, but, like, those are your main guys, and that could be really good. And then, you know, but then flip it around the other side, and it's like, list out your offensive linemen for next year.
Yeah.
And that's where it's really interesting, when you are so potentially strong on one side and really questionable on the other side.
615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines. We'll also give you the keys to the game for the Titans taking on the Jags tomorrow in Jacksonville. All that coming up. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Looking ahead to Titans and Jags, taking your thoughts on our text line. John in Nashville on the text line says, to improve the offensive line would not be hard since they are so crappy now. This is from John in Nashville on the text line.
Okay, but to improve it to the point where you can be a really good team? That's what we're saying. We're not saying, right. Hey, you can have someone better than Jordan Roos at right guard. Yay, you know. You could be better than Dennis Daly at left tackle. No, we're saying, can you be good enough? Can you be a team that might be able to hit 30 points one time or two in a season with your offense? You know, can you protect your quarterback consistently? I mean, that's a big chore. That is a big, big chore.
Liam on the text line says, hopefully Vrabel is playing glorious domination on repeat at practice. Either players buy in, or they get frothing at the mouth level crazy, and at least they're fury on the Jags. It's from Liam on the text line.
No, I said I agree. It should make them furious. If that happened to me, it's like either I would be looking to just hit something really hard, or I might just curl up in a ball and sucking my thumb for hours. Like, just lose my mind because I listen to it so often. I don't know. You're playing with, you know, it's like your hand on the flame right there.
Yeah.
You know, it could go either way. Paul says, this week on his program, Stillman said Dennis Daly was not that bad. Stoneman is like a huge Dennis Daly fan. And was a standard backup left tackle in his opinion. Of all his takes you guys dunk on this one deserve of all his takes you guys dunk on this one deserves it the most. I need an entire Jared versus Joe on how stupid it is. Sending Daly. Well, okay, actually, Paul, I think Dennis Daly is a standard backup left tackle. There aren't 32 good starting left tackles
Correct.
In the NFL. So I guess I'd have to hear. I have heard him say some things like after hashtag Jared's film room where I was like, yeah, go back in the film room, buddy. Because if you
close
have,
that door, get in there, bud.
Because if you have three or four just completely disastrous plays in a game, the other plays were okay. Yeah, okay. But see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But I honestly think standard backup left tackle is about right, isn't it?
Yeah. Standard backup left tackle?
I mean, if you went all the all the twos in this league, you'd have some blowbys. I mean, it's offensive line play in the NFL. Like, there's a need for more.
I understand, and I know part of what I'm about to say is also the position that he plays, but it is like I watched them play the last couple of weeks. And they've got Jordan Ruse out there, and they've got LaRaven Clark at right tackle. And I still watch him play, and I'm like, well, Dennis Daly is the worst of all these. Now, I get it. It's the position he's playing, right?
Yeah.
It's left tackle.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. I guess he is a standard backup left tackle, but, man, it's been rough out there.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even start to begin to rank him among backup left tackle.
Could
we can all agree he's a backup. He's a backup who is starting. And so we're all seeing the results. I do believe there are plenty of other backups who, if forced into like if you watch the Vikings this year, like when Darisaw got hurt, it was like all of a sudden you went from really good protection to, oh my God, Kirk Cousins got sacked in 0.8 of a second.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's a guy who has to have a clean pocket.
Yeah. No, they need him to hold up tomorrow better than he has been. Just hold on, Dennis.
Jeff from Hendersonville, he didn't give up a sack to Micah Parsons. 2 exclamation points. What more do you need to know?
That is true. Micah Parsons with one hand, but that is true. Still the most incredible play. We never talked about this. But
he grabbed the ball.
Like the most incredible play was, yeah, number one, how did he grab the ball on the fumble recovery? But like two, there was a play last week where he's running on the field. Like he's late getting on the field as the play starts, and he just shows up to the line of scrimmage basically as the ball is being snapped and immediately in the backfield making the play. Like, all right, cool. Pretty good.
He's pretty good. My personal text line, Ryan Porth, enjoyed reading your Titans-Jag story on the train. God, we suck. Have a little faith, Porth. Come on.
A lot of negativity heading into this game. With that in mind, Joe, your keys to victory tomorrow for the Titans – as they try to win their third consecutive division title, which I feel like people have forgotten about this week, and take down the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road in Duval.
Yeah, this also brings Jared to mind because I was listening. I like that Jared like watches the Vrabel show and then he always brings his keys, you know?
Me too.
But it's like, seriously, Vrabel's keys are like, don't turn it over and do well in the red zone. Woo! No way!
He's in there.
Thank you for that insight. But that's pretty much my keys.
There we go. Yes.
I mean, that's about right. Yeah, look, it's like you have to you have to dominate the game up front defensively. There's the number one key. Dominate the game up front defensively to the point that you don't let ETN get that 60-yarder. Because I think they'll stop him, but he is dangerous. To hit that one big explosive on you, that could be enough. Explosive plays, explosive penalties, but you have to dominate the game defensively to the point where they are in perpetual third and long, and you get to Trevor Lawrence, you affect Trevor Lawrence, and you turn over Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that to me is it. I mean, offensively, can you get to 20? If that's not enough, then the game's already gone. I mean, there's just so much pressure on the defense. It is on their shoulders. So, offensively, can you get to 20 points? Can you get a 100-yard game from Derrick Henry?
About 21.
Or 21. I mean, you know, low 20s.
Okay.
Can you get Joshua Dobbs? You know, can you finish a couple drives in the red zone? That has to be enough. That has to be enough. It's about the defense dominating this game.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. The defense needs an incredible performance tomorrow. And Trevor Lawrence and that offense, they're operating at a high level right now, and they're feeling good, they're confident, all those things. But I still feel like if you're the Titans and you've got your best performance defensively, you're going to be able to make some stops, and you're going to be able to really keep yourself in the game. Now, the one thing that I wonder about, and it's not just turnovers for the Titans. Like, obviously you can't have them, but can you force them? Like, Vrabel's so big on that, of forcing turnovers and trying to get better at doing that. You know, Kevin Byard had a couple of picks last week. Now, one of them was basically gift-wrapped to him by the receiver. I understand that, but you still have to make the play. You got to be in the spot to make the play. And if you're the Titans, it's not, to me, just about not turning the ball over yourself. I think if the Titans are going to win, they're going to need to force one or two in this game as well, because you need to, with the offense they have, you got to steal a couple of possessions away from Jacksonville. And there have been times this year where the Titans have been able to do that. And they went through a stretch, I want to say, that started in the Denver game, basically until Houston, where they couldn't force a turnover to save their life. So,
yeah,
got to force some too.
No, they had a long stretch there where they weren't just it's even like, go back to the playoff game last year. Still incredible that you sack someone nine times and you don't force. You had the incredible Amani Hooker pick in that game, but I agree with all that. You know, you've also, I'll say this, that if the Titans aren't at least plus one in turnovers, they're not winning this game. Now, when they're minus three and they win by 20, let's all talk about that Monday. But I believe that. I don't believe you can even be even on the turnover ledger in this game and win it.
If you're going to turn it over, just make it like a Hail Mary at halftime. It counts as a turnover, but doesn't really count. Just do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Stuff like that, and then it skews the importance of that stat. But
Joseph on the text line says, I'm all for the boys all the way, so I want that third divisional champ. All right, cool. We've heard from people that actually want the Titans to win tomorrow.
Boys. Is that Lawan's burner?
Could be.
Is Lawan asking for, like, donations or something for his podcast?
I have no idea.
Is that right? Did I see that right?
I have no clue.
Must have missed this.
Someone said the other day that he's soliciting donations for their podcast.
No idea. Ryan Porth has texted us back, says, Dennis Daly is a bigger sieve than the slice of bread placed under a running water. Jeez.
Porth is heated this morning.
Porth fired up this morning.
I'm trying to think of that. I've never thought of even doing that. But that would be, you'd have a pretty big hole right there in the middle of the crust, I guess. Pretty quickly.
Also, Porth, if you're listening, I just discovered that you look so much like Ryan Day, and I still can't get over it.
Yeah, sorry about your luck the other day, buddy.
It's wild.
Coach him up next year.
It is wild.
615-737-1025.
I was
going to
say something, but yeah.
Yeah, probably good we don't. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com.
I do have a word from OrderGreen.com, which is the nation's number one online shop for all things THC and CBD. Tremendous products, very helpful. Stress, anxiety, inflammation physically, edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, they got it. You name it. You also can talk to their team, which is very knowledgeable at OrderGreen.com. And their team will let you know that you're getting high-quality product from reputable providers who provide nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. And if you get a subscription at OrderGreen.com, 25% off every shipment of gummies. If you use promo code JOE20, 20% off your first purchase.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. This song's an interesting choice.
It's for Porth. I know he's listening.
Yep. A lot of good stuff going on with them.
That is Bear Down, right? Bear Down.
That is what it is.
That was not a very smart question, Rex.
I didn't. I mean, I wasn't familiar with the Bears' stupid fights. I've been to Bears games, but, you know.
I've only played it 7,000 times on this program.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard the, but I just want to make sure I was confirming the word, the wording there. I mean, you
confirmed.
Go to a Bears game, usually it's just like you had drunk people screaming all around you, fighting each other and stuff, and it's hard to
it's pretty lit.
Focus. Yeah.
It's pretty lit.
Yeah. Leaving in the third quarter, being down by 40.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. It's funny, like these NFL teams with like their fight songs. You know, of course, back in the day, like college football was king, and there's like this newfangled pro football,
professional football.
We need
what
to have
this?
Fight songs for our teams. there's some buttes in there. So we can this Rex rant can be pretty fast, and we can get back to Titans, Jags, or whatever you guys want to do. But I just thought this was amazing. I just thought this was. This was so amazing, especially because I need to find the quote tweet that went with it.
Okay.
It's let me find it. I know I can find it, and I should have found it. Yes, there we go, from 16 hours ago on Twitter. This is a statement from Jim Harbaugh. Okay.
Yeah.
So the statement, here's a statement from Jim Harbaugh. Quote, I'm aware of the rumors and speculation over the past few days. College and NFL teams have great interest in all our personnel, blah, 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 blah. As I stated in December, while no one knows what the future holds, I expect that I will be enthusiastically coaching Michigan in 2023.
Yes.
And then Michigan football quote tweet is, a Michigan man through and through who doesn't know what the future may hold and expects that he probably will be around.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely zero no
amazing.
Information. Yes.
Right. Like, there's absolutely, like, basically, I assume that was like, Jim, can you just put something out there? Because yeah. There's all these, you talk to the Carolina owner, and Indy's coming after you, and Denver's coming. Can you put something out there? Okay. I'll say what I always say, which protects my butt when I go to the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't know what the future holds, but I expect I'll be here. And then, of course, we also find out that Michigan is facing serious NCAA violations.
Yes.
Awesome. That's it.
My favorite part.
It's just freaking hilarious.
It's not the first time he said it, but my favorite part is the enthusiastically coaching. Not only do I expect to be here coaching, but let me just tell you, if I am, enthusiastically, I will be coaching this team.
Well, a big Harbaugh thing is enthusiasm unknown to mankind, which doesn't actually make sense.
That makes no sense.
So it's only known to, like, Martians? Like, what the hell does that even mean, Harbaugh?
Listen,
anyway,
animals?
Good luck with Russell Wilson. Looking forward to it.
I thought we were going to see a little Michigan, Ohio State, Vrabel, Harbaugh someday, but listen, it's going to be Titans, Colts, Vrabel, Harbaugh.
That's seriously. That's really.
He's going to the Colts. I am like fully.
I don't think so.
Yes.
You don't think so? You think he's going where?
I think he may go to Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I would very much enjoy Harbaugh in this division because then we get because that's what I was. That's why I wrote the Ohio State. Basically, I just want. Harbaugh and Vrabel to take shots at each other, and finally for Vrabel to just like throw him across the field, like in future years of Michigan, Ohio State playing, we're not going to get that.
I will say, like Harbaugh, they can mix it up in midfield every now and then.
Oh.
Maybe he's got something for Vrabel.
There's multiple people on this Titans staff who know what it is to be mad at Harbaugh.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I am taking Vrabel all day over Harbaugh in a fight.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. No, that's. I'm trying to think.
Did he and Jim Schwartz get into it one time?
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Jim Schwartz.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, Jim Schwartz did the – it was the Niners. It's funny to think about this. The Niners, like, upset the Lions in Detroit.
Because
the Lions were better than – like, the Niners were, like, the worst team in football. And, again, credit to Harbaugh. It did a great job with the Niners. Got him the Super Bowl. Colin Kaepernick, I mean, he did a very good job. But early in his tenure, they won that game. And then I'm trying to think, did he like just slap his hand or something? But Jim Schwartz came after him, man.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Schwartz was
like
hot.
Chasing each other off the field. Yeah.
Yeah. Harbaugh's not afraid to ruffle some feathers. But yeah, I mean, like Vrabel, if you could actually get Vrabel furious at another coach, that could be fun.
That'd be a tough one.
Yeah. It would be a tough one with the other coach. Yeah.
Like you said, Michigan yesterday, it came out that 4 Level 2 violations and 1 Level 1 violation charges against the Michigan football program.
How do you even have that? Like, you can just pay players now.
I have no clue.
What are we doing up there, Harbs?
According to Nicole Auerbach, the Level 1 charge is against Harbaugh for failing to cooperate with investigators regarding contact with 2 prospects during the COVID-19 dead period. There you go.
Yeah, so and this is the thing, too. It's like, I mean, we saw what happened with Pruitt, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not excusing anything. But I would ask you, what percentage of college football program, Power Five competitive college football programs, abided by the COVID rules?
Very few.
Yes. But it's the same thing. It's like everybody's speeding. You get popped, you pay.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, when Jim Harbaugh was enthusiastically recruiting, this is what happens. Sometimes you got to bend a few rules.
Out there.
Get him in there.
Taking his shirt off, playing beach volleyball like he's in a Top Gun Part 2.
Do you think he's doing...
God, what a tremendous sports personality Jim Harbaugh is.
Is this going to result in like another contract for Jim Harbaugh? Like more money? Or is this just totally to go to the NFL?
Well, the funny thing is when I seriously read this, before the NCAA violations thing came out yesterday, I read that like, okay, I mean... Make him the highest paid coach,
right,
or so, and you might keep him. But then this comes out, and it's like, oh, yeah, he's just going.
He's probably, he's probably leaving.
Peace out, guys.
It's a shame.
Yep, won you guys a couple of Big Ten titles, a couple of college football playoff appearances, and I'll leave you with some violations. I'll be in the NFL. See you later.
Yeah. Beat Ohio State 2 years in a row, did. Man. That is no – I mean, that's a big deal at Michigan. So good job, Harbs.
Way to go.
Yeah.
See, I'm going Denver. Denver's my early called shot.
I hope. Yeah, I really hope it's Indy. I really hope. Because I'm trying to imagine like Irsay and Harbaugh
and
coexisting.
Ballard. Yeah. What a trio! What a trio!
And again, then you do have the Harbaugh-Vrabel dynamic. Maybe Vrabel loves Harbaugh. I don't know. But I just feel like
I don't know. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But I just feel like Harbaugh has a unique ability to get under the skin of other coaches.
He does.
So if that rivalry is spiced up with him, I'm all for it.
Look,
I will say, though, Harbaugh and Russ would be fascinating.
Yeah, it would.
It would be fascinating.
It would.
You know, real quick on Russ, did you see all the stuff? There are a lot of Denver Broncos players, like, vehemently –
Defending him
last week, which I thought was interesting because there is – I do feel like with him it's gotten a little bit, oh, he's got a, you know, diamond-crusted office where you must, you know, talk to his secretary before talking to him and all this stuff. Maybe it's gotten
got
a little bit much. A little
now,
bit
look,
much.
He's a total cheese ball. I mean,
oh,
there's
yeah.
There's no denying
oh, no doubt.
That. But, yeah, I think some of the other stuff around it has gotten a little bit overboard.
It has. So it was good to see some guys – get his back. And you know what? I bet you Harbaugh will, too.
Well, you know what would really have his back next time? Maybe more people showing up to the birthday party, and we wouldn't have these type of discussions. When you get invited by Russell Wilson and Sierra to the birthday party,
thank you for remembering her
Listen,
name.
Listen, if Sierra invites
her name.
Joe, this is such a – this is your worst hot take. Sierra is a legend and an icon.
We throw those two words around very loosely nowadays. Yeah. I don't know if she's either one of those.
Like we're trying to go see Janet Jackson here in a couple months. That's a legend and an icon.
Yes.
Sierra?
I don't know if Sierra is quite in the same category.
I'm also trying to go see that same concert too with my mom.
So who's a legend and an icon? Oh, good. No, we're going to have to tailgate with your mom then.
What was your question?
Your lack of answer. Well, you don't want to? You don't want to hang out?
Oh, yeah, we can hang out. Okay. I've already seen Janet in concert once, so.
I have not.
By the way, I'm looking up here on Get Up right now on ESPN, the panel.
Oh.
Everybody, unanimous, the Jags taking down the Titans.
Everybody.
On the panel.
You got Greeny, Ryan Clark, Brooke Pryor, Ryan Ninkovich, all taking the Jags.
Rob Ninkovich.
Who did I say?
Ryan.
Sorry, Porth. I got Porth on the brain.
Listen, they all like picked the Packers, like too, except Greeny picked the Lions.
That's fine, as long as it's not unanimous. That's fine with me.
Vrabel's using that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's going to be a lot of people. I don't care what studio show you watch this weekend. Be a lot of people picking the Jags. I mean, Terry Bradshaw was talking last week, like, I don't know why they're playing the game.
Yeah.
Like, the Jags are going to be in.
I heard that, too. Are we just total homers? If we all pick the Titans,
and they lose by, like, 20?
That's Homer. That's Homer City, isn't it? I don't feel like we're a Homer show, but we may be headed that way.
May not be.
Maybe not be? Okay.
We'll see what happens.
All right. You may save the day.
On that front. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Jags for the AFC South coming up tomorrow. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.